If this is your first time here, I just want to welcome you. Thanks for coming. Thanks for hanging out with us. We have been in a series about seeking God, and all through Scripture where it tells us to seek God's face. And how do you find Him? How do you experience Him? What does it mean to seek God? And Jesus said, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will what? Find. In several places in the Old Testament, He said, if you seek Me with all of your heart, you will find Me. And sometimes the most powerful message on seeking God is hearing how others have encountered finding Him. And there's been a lot going on around here. The high school group just last weekend had 40 high schoolers off at a retreat center seeking God, and God showed up in some huge ways. And we've spent the beginning of the year, Sunday mornings, on talking about the heart and how God has made your heart thirsty on purpose because He wants to connect with your thirst. And then we talked about calling here. And then we've been talking about seeking God. And midweek, men's has been talking about how do you follow the Holy Spirit. And now they're talking about finding your unique calling. And the women's group has been talking about the book of Romans and working through it. And I had a person email me about that study in Romans, and she said, it has transformed my life. God has showed up. And so what I want to do is, you know, coming to church is seeking God. Going to men's Wednesday night, women's, going to children's, going to youth group, all of that is an act of seeking God. And what I wanted to do is just open up the floor here to how have you experienced Him? Have you been finding Him? How is that, what's happening? And I just asked Seth to kind of kick off just by sharing a little bit about what happened last weekend with what's called the Threshold Retreat with the high school group. And so we're going to have him kick it off, give you a chance to think about it. And this is unusual. If you're new, we only do this very rarely, maybe a couple times a year, where we just sort of have a chunk of time open to sharing and how God's moving. And so it's a cool Sunday to come hang out with us. And so, Seth, why don't you just share with us what happened?
About 3 months ago with the senior highs, we kicked off Apostle University. And right, our mission statement really with Apostle University is to seek the restoring of hearts by releasing students to listen to God and step into their passions and desires that He's placed in their hearts. And so it began really by asking, where do they feel gifted? But more importantly, where do they feel that God has been putting passions or desires in their hearts? And giving them an opportunity to take a step and a risk in an area that maybe their friends and their leaders and parents may not even know that this is something that's been in their heart, or is a desire or a passion. And over the last 3 months, we've had 15 instructors, over 40 classes, where each of the students got to pick their unique majors and process to go through specifically the training and the desire that they wanted, that they were going into. And this culminated last weekend in the Threshold event, where this was an opportunity for God to break strongholds, those lies or systems in our lives that are between us and stepping closer to our identity. And really, on the final night, we had what was a rite of passage event where all the leaders had previously been praying over the names of each individual student, and we all had a sweatshirt, which you'll see some Hebrew name on the back, which references the word that we heard for them. And we would come in and we'd tell the students one by one, we're going to tell you who's coming next. And we gave the students to fight alongside each other for that person to break whatever stronghold or lie that was in their life. And then we would walk them out, and we would, as a leader, we'd pray over them. We'd say the name that we heard for them and speak to their lives. And all I can say is that we had planned on a couple hours. It turned into like a six-hour event. And anybody, whether you were a leader, whether you were a student, if you saw this event and you saw the students fight for each other, your life was changed forever. And I would say that story after story of the people coming back, including my own, are people who said, God showed up at this event, right? Lives were changed, strongholds were broken, and the things and lies that we may have believed about ourselves in the past, we could never, ever, ever go back to believing again.
Super, thank you. Yeah, one student popped out of the car. I was there, I was here, they came back, and he just said, I have a new identity, I have a new name, I've been healed of a bunch of wounds, and this is now my church. And so, it was just awesome. So, thank you so much. Right on. Somebody else want to share? What's God been up to?
I went to Threshold, but before I went there, I was in a group of the four groups called Finishers. And that my passions were serving, faith, and giving. And our job was to kind of raise money for Threshold. And we planned events to raise money. And our goal was, you know, $500. And through donations and fundraisers, we end up getting like $1,800 to give to Threshold, which was an amazing blessing from God, which like boosted my faith. Like, it skyrocketed, and it's still, you know, way off the charts. And then at Threshold, on the last night, my life was changed forever. When Seth was talking about it, how it was going to work, how the rite of passage was going to work, I was so scared. I didn't know what God was going to tell me. I had no idea what was going to happen. So right before he called the first name, I kind of heard like the word one, and he called my name. I was the first one to go through the rite of passage, and it just hit me, and I was just like, wow. And it was so incredible, and I just started crying. And then all my friends came and started praying around me. And during that moment when they're just praying for me, it was just like, this is my family. I'm surrounded by the people I love. And during that moment, Satan was just attacking me with, you cannot do this. You're not strong enough. It's not going to work out. You're going to walk away just disappointed with yourself. And those lies were countered with the amazing strength and power of the prayers of my friends, which was like that moment right there I will never forget ever. So then I went and to the leaders at the beginning of the rite of passage, and I was asked by a leader to kneel, and she then knighted me with a rose and asked me to stand. I was then given my name, Zer, which means the rock.
Right on.
And I was so blown away, because at the beginning of Threshold, you know, I was shown my stronghold. One of my strongholds was, you are weak. You cannot do this, and you cannot please God because you are weak. You cannot do this. So once I got my name, I was just like, really? I almost didn't believe it. I'm like, okay, that's probably the wrong person. You didn't hear that. I'm not a rock. I can't do that. But then it was just so amazing. And then afterwards, once they did all their things, after they prayed over me, I went to a fireplace. And since I was the first one there, I was alone, and I really was able to connect with God. And I had a question for him. Why the rock? Because that's not how I viewed myself. And he said, I chose the rock for you because you are going to conquer many battles. And I was just like, really? I'm going to do that? So I was like, yay, I'm excited now. So from that point on, and then I was filled with strength, not my own strength, but his strength. And as more people came in and started sitting, you know, with me, we talked about our names and like how they either were exactly what we thought it was going to be or not, what we completely different from what we viewed ourselves as. And during that night, as I was praying for different people, I felt so strong. Mm. I was powerful, and it was the Lord's power and strength going through me, and I want to go back and like experience that again, because it was the first time I've heard like God really speak to me, the first time I was able to say, this is what God told me, and be able to say it with like with confidence, that's what God told me. So it was a completely, I didn't expect it at all, and so it was amazing, and I can't like tell you how amazing it was, because it's indescribable.
Well done, thank you. What's God been up to? How have you been finding him? Right back here. Just go ahead and stand up. Just speak out. I don't know if you need a mic, Scott.
I can talk pretty loud. I was just after hearing Emily talk, I was one of the leaders at Threshold, and one of the strong men that have been with me for quite some time, I was able to be able to hear him.
Thank you. Awesome. All right. Thank you, Jesus.
Huh? Can't even stand up without crying. Do you want me up there or stay here?
You can just stay right there, okay. But you need to put the mic up near where we can...
I gotta quit crying first. Okay. I'm gonna face this way because I'll really cry if I turn around.
Okay.
So we just got baptized in February. My first real church experience has been at Church in a Bar, starting last October. And my first day here was February 13th, the day of the baptism, and we've been doing both pretty much every week since then. And I shared at Church in a Bar that if you would have told me 6 months ago or 8 months ago that you can hear God speak to you, I'd think you need to seek help. Because, you know, that's just never been a part of my life, and I thought those were people that are a little crazy and a little, you know,
out
off
there.
The deep end. So when we came back and Randy talked about getting your name, and I was bombarded with a name that I didn't like and didn't understand why I was thinking that, I thought, well, this is crazy because God doesn't really talk to me. I'm just thinking this crazy off-the-wall name. I went home and looked it up, and when I found out what it meant, I then emailed Randy and said, I need to talk to you. Mm-hmm. And it wound up that my name was Blind to My Love. Mm. And so that was really hard for me. But it was replaced with a lot of receiving love from people here and hearing the right messages to see God's love in my life. So I thought, okay, this is my journey right now. That's where I'm going to be. But then I got more. And at the women's group, we were talking about trusting God. And Star gave a message at the beginning how she felt that she needed to trust God with her children. And at the end of that evening, I had drawn a blank. I went with things I wanted to pray about, but I drew a complete blank. And as soon as we quit praying and went to leave, I was slammed with an instantaneous vision of his entire life. And the message that, sorry, he's destined for greatness and under serious attack. Mm-hmm. And then I felt like the hand of God touch my core and say, trust me. Mm-hmm. And I was completely at peace. Mm-hmm. And so I continued to pray for protection for him. And I've done that like every day. And a friend of mine who's a very strong Christian woman came to my house and she said, your house feels different. Your house feels very calm and protected. And so that made me feel really good. And so I've had that peace and I thought, okay, that's my journey right now. And then I was given something else this week that was for me. Because I've been having struggles, feeling like everybody I put trust in for friendship abuses that friendship and lets me down. And so I just went to God and I said, okay, I finally get it. I can't do this without you. I can't parent my son without you. Yeah. I can't be a good friend without you. Yeah. And I can't fix whatever it is. Because I've come to the realization that whatever it is, it's not everybody in the world doing something wrong to me. I'm just stubbornly not learning a lesson. So I said, what is the lesson you're trying to teach me? And the thing that keeps repeating this week is that I just need to have some self-esteem and realize that I'm a good enough person to be worthy of friendship. So God's spoken a lot to me in this beginning of this year, so I feel very blessed in many, many ways.
Praise God. Awesome. Thank you. Just a quick break here. If you are brand new to this, like if this is your first week and you're hearing about these people saying they're hearing God speak to them, and that freaks you out a little bit, it's something that that we talk about a lot at Adventure, and it's just if you read the Bible, people actually have a two-way conversation with God. But for some reason, Christianity has not embraced that in America and in the modern age. And so it's sort of, well, that was back then. God doesn't speak anymore. And so what we've done at Adventure is we do retreats and things where we send people go out and they just go, listen, God, do you want to talk to me? And lo and behold, he wants to speak still. And so he does all kinds of things like telling people, yeah, your name is Randy, but my name for you is Benjamin, because you're the son of my right hand. And he loves to just bestow fathering on us. And now we're not, most of us are not hearing audible voices. Most of us are hearing his voice deep in our soul, deep in our heart. Scripture says it's a still small voice. It's a whisper. God speaks to your heart in a way that's very palpable. It's very powerful. You know it's God, but I went 24 years as a Christian before I began listening. 24 years of speeches to God before I shut up and said, "Do you want to talk to me back?" And he did. And so just, if that's freaking you out, that's kind of what that's about, and people are hearing God and God's speaking. And so somebody else, is there any others that would like to share what God's been doing?
Okay, so I'm getting that like really sweaty hand, your heart's like beating a million miles per second, like, okay, I'll share. So I went to Threshold, and I was a part of we were called the Dreamers, and we were pretty much the leadership team of the entire event, and we had to lead everything, the games, when the session times were, and it was very stressful. And being able to, one of the things I learned was being able just to submit all the planning to God and just being able to say, okay, whatever you want us to do, we're going to do it. And my stronghold was that I had the fear of failure, and so I just wasn't going to try. If I knew I could conquer it, I'd do it with all my heart. But if I wasn't positive, I just wouldn't try at all. And Saturday night was the most memorable night of my life, seeing almost 40 kids pray for each other, just feeling like it wasn't their words. It was the Holy Spirit the entire time. And the whole time I felt like I had to be strong. I had to be praying for every person, and I couldn't break down when we were supposed to be praying for them. And my turn came, and my brother wanted to hold me. And he cradled me in his arms the whole time they were praying for me. And I broke down just in the sense that I don't have to be strong all the time, but that God will give me that strength on my own. And, yeah, I was supposed to be a leader at the retreat, but I'm supposed to also let God be the leader of my life. Mm. And so we get home Sunday, and my brother's car had been broken into. They kept saying, "Nothing is stolen, you know, it's just a broken window." Little did they know my purse was in the back of the car. My iPod, my phone, and everything was in there, and I just felt instantly discouragement. It wasn't like I had forgotten what happened over the weekend, but it was just like, really? Right now? But then this overwhelming sense of peace came over me that as soon as I get back, my purse was stolen, that something amazing happened at that retreat. Mm-hmm. That Satan is pissed and I should be complimented.
Amen.
And I should be complimented at the fact that my purse got stolen. Even though I was crying because I didn't have any of my stuff. As soon as I went into the building, I had my entire group around me praying for me instantly. And it just reminded me that in prayer, nothing is impossible. Mm-hmm. And multiple times, Sunday night, Thursday night, Friday night, just this week, I've been given the opportunity to pray for others who are going through times of not feeling safe at home, going through sicknesses, going through breaking a wrist. And just being able to feel the strength when they need me, but also being able to receive his strength when I need it, was the biggest stronghold I think I've ever broken. And having it gone is just such a refreshing way that I'm able to grow deeper and deeper in my relationship with him. And my life is changed forever, not only because of the retreat, but what happened afterwards. So.
That's good. We have time for one more. One more person.
Okay. It's interesting. I had four siblings at the retreat, and while they were going through breaking strongholds, I was having a crisis. I'm going to break down, sorry. I have been having struggles at work, but I thought I've been getting over them, and then they're reappearing, and God asked me to give up my job, which he told me to take. And that's the only reason I have the job is because he told me. And I fell in love with the job and the people. But he told me, you need to quit. And I said, no. I kept saying no until one friend told me, the first thing out of her mouth was, you need to quit that job. Mm-hmm. And it was enough people, I finally started listening. And so I made the decision. And I put out my fleece to God. Okay, my parents both have to agree 100%, you know. And so I was going to talk with them about it, but they both agreed the situation. I did need to quit. And I was having such a hard time because I realized on Saturday when my siblings were breaking their strongholds that my stronghold was that I'm not useful. And I'd finally found a place where I'm useful, where everybody needs me and wants me. And so I pretty much had a screaming match with God in the shower, telling him, why are you taking this from me? This is the best thing that's ever happened to me. But I broke down and said, in my anger, I will give it to you if you ask it. And he showed me something that it's kind of hard to hear, but it gives me hope. And that my new mission is that I am to go home and submit to my parents' authority and to learn humbleness and gratefulness, which is something I missed on my first run through.
Wow.
And so I'm going to be jobless, and I don't know what's going to happen. I do know that I'm called to missions, perhaps the Philippines in the future, but for right now I need to learn humbleness and gratefulness. And I've been praying for a servant's heart, and he's showing me how to have one. And so I've been having quiet time, and he's been speaking to me on every level, and it's been the most amazing quiet time I've had. But it hasn't been easy because everybody at work has been very angry at me, and like I'm abandoning them. And but God is giving me peace, and I know this is the decision that's going to change my life forever.
Right on. Praise God. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, that's amazing. It's a really great picture, too, of sometimes the Lord says, let's go to this city and this town and heal the sick and raise the dead. And you see it in Jesus' life, right? And then when the crowds get bigger and more people come, Jesus goes, okay, it's time for us to cut out of here and go to that other city. Because his father told him, it's time to go to the other city. Enough's been done here. And sometimes we don't understand why God will cause us to turn left when it seems like we're supposed to turn right or stay straight. But following the Spirit is a willingness to have that kind of submission daily. And I could go into a message about that, but we're not going to do that because I have something else I want to share with you before we end. And before we do that, though, these guys are going to cut out and go finish youth group. Thank you so much for coming. And high school group's going on, and they came to share about what happened with Threshold for you guys. And if we could have the ushers come forward on Sundays that we do communion, we have a special offering that we do, and it's called the benevolent offering. It goes into a fund that is just available for people who are having a tight month. Maybe they've been laid off. Maybe they just need help with a power bill or mortgage or things like that. And so this fund just builds up and is useful for people who are in particular need. So the way we do our regular offering is at the end of the service, we just have a basket in the back, and that's for people who consider Adventure their home and just give back there. But this is going to, the bag's going to go around. If you have a few extra dollars that you'd like to share for those who don't, who are in need this month, just want to invite you to give that. And let's pray. And then I want to launch into a few things before I let you go. Jesus, I love it. I love the stories about how you're moving. I love that you are fathering your sons and your daughters. You are healing. You came to heal the brokenhearted, and you're healing us. Lord, you're breaking strongholds. You came to rescue those, to set the captives free, to proclaim freedom for those who are in darkness. And Lord, you have broken strongholds and still want to break strongholds and bestow your favor and your identity. Lord, thank you for these stories. And Lord, I know that we could go on for hours, the many more stories about how you're moving in so many areas. And so Lord, I just want to say we're grateful to you. We're grateful that you give and give and give. And Lord, we want to give back to you now with just in this benevolent offering and ask you, use these things to further your kingdom, work in people's hearts to meet needs. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's go ahead and pass that around. And as that's coming, going around, I just want to share with you, if you are new to Adventure, it's a good Sunday because we're going to talk about what's been going on here lately and then where are we going as a church. So I just want to share with you a few things about that. And just starting off with what's been going on, and it's going to come up any second now. And when they get that going, okay, so what's been happening? As you heard about, we've got a satellite church down at the bar. It starts at 9:30. It's 9:30 to 11 down there at the Twin Dragon Sports Bar, and it's been going since the fall. And from everything I hear, that thing's gaining momentum. It's doing well. And so that's something that's been going on. It's very exciting because there are people who will never walk into a church that looks like this, right? That's very churchy, but they would go to church in a bar. And so that's been happening. Also, you may not know, mothers of preschoolers, 20 to 40 gals are here every other Friday doing what's called MOPS. They're non-adventure. Most of them are non-adventure young moms here from the community that are here. They do crafts, they hang out, and they get a break from from mothering for a little bit so they can connect with some other gals, but also they get to hear about Christ. So that's happening. Another thing that's happening is Fruit Bearers. Wes and Judy Robbie are beginning a ministry in the Philippines for children who have deformities, deaf children, blind children. If you may not know it, but Wes, who is one of our elders here, is right now in the Philippines. And he is he's going to be there for 6 weeks, and he's doing groundwork right now to build the infrastructure so that we can go do short-term missions there, so you can go, so that we can have children that we sponsor. So we'll be able to see their pictures, and actually the funds that we sponsor monthly of those children, the funds will actually go to those kids and those kids' families. And so that's going on right now. Fruit Bearers currently has one full-time employee in the Philippines. And then here, Wes and Judy are trying to raise their support so they can be full-time missionaries. And we're supporting them. More on that in a minute. But that's going on. Another thing that's been going on is, if you're new, Men's has been meeting on Wednesday nights. And we've been talking about, how do you find your specific calling in life? What were you designed for? Women's has been meeting on Tuesday mornings and Tuesday evenings, two separate Bible studies, talking through the book of Romans, which has been really cool. I shared earlier about this. You know, one gal just said, this has absolutely changed my life. Emailed me. I'm sure there's more, but just that probably could have all of you gals stand up and share how cool it's been. But life-changing things are happening there. Our children's ministry has, they're finishing up their first year of building an entire curriculum based on our four core values here at Adventure. Our four core values as a church are walking with God, learning to hear his voice, basically that walk with God, intimacy, healing from the blows you've taken over the years in your past, warfare, we believe the enemy's real, and you need to fight back, and community. And so they're building this curriculum, and they're getting to the end of the first year of this curriculum, and it's been a really good year for our elementary. Worship team has been putting together, we have several worship teams now, but there's Church in a Bar worship team, and they were leading us last Sunday night. We did a prayer and worship night, and Church in a Bar team was here leading us. That was cool. Some of you were here with us, and then they've been inviting us to more worship, and I know they have some plans to do more of that evening kind of worship as we move along. Adventure Youth, you've heard this morning about Threshold last weekend. Did you know they had 57 high schoolers last Thursday night? 57 people were here. I mean, Fellowship Hall doesn't hold... I mean, I guess they're high schoolers, they get close. You know, they're okay being close. But 57. And I called... I'm like, why isn't my daughter home? So I called, you know, and her battery's dead. So I got a hold of, you know, somebody else whose battery wasn't dead. I'm like, where's my daughter? Oh, she'll be leaving in a minute. There's several kids praying over her. I'm like, okay, tell her it's okay. You know, what am I going to say? Bad daughter, you know, get home. Stop being prayed for. So, I mean, that kind of thing is indicative of the movement of the Spirit of God. You know, and so the Lord is moving. And I loved that excuse for why she wasn't home. You may not know it, but Adventure has a college and career ministry every Sunday afternoon, either at the Kobayashi's or the Wards. That's going on. If you're that age and are not involved, talk to Kim or Jonathan, talk to Mike and Susan. So that's what's been going on. There's been so much more. I mean, I could tell you there's Espresso Ministry and there's Martha Ministries and different things that are going on. We could go into a lot of different details, but I wanna kinda go into what's coming. And again, I'm not gonna hit much of it. There's not enough time to tell you all that's coming, but I'm gonna hit on some of the highlights here. First of all, on Sunday mornings, we have been in a series on thirsty and then calling and then seeking God, but we're moving toward what do we really believe as Christians? What is the truth? What we believe as Christians is astounding. It's beautiful. It's amazing. The truths that we hold to are our foundation. They are a backbone for us. And we're going to go into them. We have been talking about the heart and feeding the heart. Now we want to equip your mind and prepare so you know the truth that you believe and you know it deeply. So we're going to be going into a series of that. It's going to go for a few months. What does Christianity teach? What does it believe? And then Easter. If you look in your bulletin, would you grab your bulletin? And in your bulletin is a postcard that says, awfully big doors to walk through. Visiting a church for the first time can be intimidating, and then on the back, is the meaning worth the risk? Next week is Easter. There's a couple Sundays that people will go to, a couple days of the year that people will come to church. Your neighbors, your coworkers, they are Easter and Christmas Eve. Right? This is the time to invite your friends, co-workers, and you may be asking, where will they sit? There's three services, 8, 9:30, and 11. I want to ask you to do us a huge favor. Do your church a favor. If you aren't planning to bring visitors and you don't have a need for childcare, would you consider the 8 o'clock service? Because this place is going to be, the 9:30 and 10 and 11 are going to be packed to the gills. And so if you would consider the 8 o'clock, if you don't absolutely need, because there's no child care first hour. So if you don't need child care and you're not bringing people, come 8, if you would. And then that'll make some space for people. The reason why it has doors like this is because about a year ago, a young man came in and And he was new and first time here, and I just sat, chatted with him after the service, and I just said, "So how did you feel about it?" And he was like, "Oh, it was great, you know." And I said, "Well, you know, can you give me some feedback? How did it feel walking in?" And he said, "Oh, I stood out there for like 10 minutes looking at the doors." And he said, "Those are awfully big doors." You get the point? Walking into a church full of people you don't know can be incredibly intimidating. Like, we know each other. We know we're just a bunch of yahoos. If you're a regular church person, you know, the church people seem like they're way up here, or they, you know, dress a certain way and all this stuff, and you don't see all their problems and all their issues until you become their pastor. And then you see all of their... But anyway, bottom line is that, you know, it's intimidating, and so we're trying to get at that and invite some folks. And everybody needs to connect with the Lord. Everybody needs a fellowship and a family. So that's coming. Men's mentoring. Men's ministry is going to be taking mentoring deeper and further. And I can't tell you a lot more about that, but in the summer and fall, guys, stay tuned for that. There's going to be some opportunity for you to be mentored in ways that are new and cool. So enough on that. The other thing is Duval Days is coming. Now, I'm recruiting. This is recruiting moment. Duval Days is an amazing opportunity for us to touch the community. There are thousands, billions of people down on Main Street for that parade. I mean, it's like, you know, and we have an opportunity. Somebody has offered to give us the parking lot in front of their business, Gary Rutledge. And here's the idea, okay? I'm just going to give you the graphic of the idea, but I don't know how we're going to do it. But what if we had a motorcycle brigade, all right, of guys who have bikes, dirt bikes and stuff, and we could get neon shirts that say "Join the Adventure," and then we could get some people we have a lot of gifted musicians. What if we could get some people to do put up a little stage area? We've got some stage parts in the other building. Put up a little stage area here. Here's Main Street, and here's Stevens. Here's the police station back here. And so here's where the parade goes, and this is typically a billion people. But what if we put booths up all around, had drinks, offering drinks, children's laser shoot the thing booths, you know, fun, you know, just cool stuff. Maybe even ministries like, you know, Fruit Bearers having here's how you could sponsor a child. Pictures of children that could be sponsored. What if we filled this with booths, provided a place for people to sit, and just, here they are, and we offer something like a little outdoor fair to the community? That'd be a cool idea? I love ideas. Now guess what has to happen? You guys have to do it. So anyway, so we're going to talk about that. We're going to come up with ideas on how to make that happen, how to get handles on it, get involved. And so there's more on that coming. But what a fantastic opportunity to reach our community. Yes, ma'am.
Which one is the Dunk the Pastor booth?
The Dunk the Pastor booth is right. Well, it'll be next to my motorcycle. Anyway, all right. The other thing that's coming is there's a discipleship ministry. A week after Easter, we're going to be actually promoting at Easter, and then a week after Easter, we're going to launch a one-on-one discipleship ministry. Basically, what that is we've done things about the heart, recovery, restoration, things like that. I think we've done well with building ministries like that. But as far as helping people who just come to a newfound faith in Christ, we could do better at helping them understand things like how to study their Bible and how to pray and some of the more core basics. What do we believe? How do you share your faith with somebody? And so we've built a workbook curriculum on what we're calling basic discipleship. It goes into the heart journey, but it's also just some of the basics and the cores of the Christian faith. And so there's going to be an opportunity to sign up to be discipled. Round one, we've already got the disciplers locked for this round, and then we're going to be building more disciplers. But we're going to be inviting you, if you're newer to the faith, or you'd just like more grounding, there's going to be an opportunity to sign up to be discipled. It's a 10-week process, one-on-one. You meet on your own time with that with the discipler and work through the material. So that's coming. And then there's also a series on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. Steve Carrier is going to be doing, called Know That You Know That You Know. And that study is on, like, all the arguments against Christianity, science, evolution, all these different, is it reasonable to believe in Christianity? That's starting up, when is that starting? May 1st. So that's starting really soon, right after Easter as well. So if you're one of those people that go, I don't know if I believe all this stuff, that's the class for you. All right. So, and then in the fall, we're moving, our four core values are walking with God, healing, warfare, and community. We're going to go hard after community in the fall. We're going to organize the entire church around community. And so there's going to be a paradigm shift for a number of months where we're going to be organized around ways to build community here. And so more on that. We're excited about it. It's going to be cool. And so that's coming, and building community and entering into community groups. And then the building. Okay, so look around. How many seats are available? There's a few. Nobody will sit here because I spit. But other than that, there's like four, right? The balcony's full. First service looked just like this. So, which is great. Except, if you're new, how does that feel walking in? Overwhelming. And so, we don't know what we're going to do about it. So would you pray for us? Our leadership team's praying, Lord, what are we going to do? We're talking about maybe we can get the city to let us build a bigger balcony. We're trying to think creatively. We're going to pull back the stage some and try to get some more seats in. But we are talking about maybe the potential of going to a third service every week. So would you be praying for us? Really, the lead team has spent a lot of time praying. And we feel like what the Lord's saying is, I'm going to present something. And so we're like, So that's going on with the building. And what else we got going on? That's it for that. I got a question recently from somebody that says, when I give, where does it go? Where does my money go? When I give money in the offering, where does it go? And I realize we probably haven't done a very good job telling you guys that kind of stuff. Every time you give more, I get more money that week. That's how it works, okay? So, please give a lot today. No, I'm on a fixed salary. It's been fixed for well over a year. I'm going on 2 years, and I'm not... I've asked them to freeze my salary, actually, for now. But when you give, first of all, it goes to missions. 10% of every dollar that you give, right at the top, we ask our people who call it Venture Home to tithe. Our leadership tithes, I tithe. We ask the people who consider this their home to obey scriptural principle of tithing, giving. And so we tithe from the budget, 10%. Of everything that comes in immediately comes out the top. Now that's typically right now about $3,300 goes to Fruit Bearers. I don't know why it says Fruit Bearers and then Fruit Bearers. That's my bad. All right, so it goes to Fruit Bearers. We talked about that Philippines mission ministry. Church in a Bar is considered an outreach. It's considered a mission thing, so it's funded from our missions budget. Cascade Prison Ministry. We have a fantastic ministry at the three prisons here in Monroe, and so money goes to that. Joel and Lorena King are our first actual full-time missionaries leaving out to go from Adventure. We're the sending church, and so we're supporting them financially. Adventure Everett. We planted a church in Everett. We are a church planting church. If you're new here, you cut us, we bleed church planting. It's something that it's just a core value. We're a church plant, and we want to church plant. We church planted Adventure Everett. Church in a Bar is kind of a church plant, kind of a satellite. And we'd like to see more church planting. Typically, we will have two or three other church plants. We had a church plant in Sultan, a church plant in Edmonds that we were supporting, but we support them for 3 years, and then you're done. Okay, so we move the money to another church plant. So we're supporting other church plants. And then Converge International is our denomination, and they have a nationwide church planting effort where they have goals. They're a very, very powerful church planting organization and have goals of, you know, X amount, 1,500 churches, I think, is their goal in this year. So, nationwide. So, we support them. Okay, so that's where your first money goes to. And then the second part it goes to is the mortgage, $5,300 a month. Utilities and gas, $2,000 to $3,000, really, is where our utilities come in and insurance and things like that. Custodial, part-time. So please clean up after yourself. Full-time and part-time pastors, directors, payroll, taxes. So these are your pastors, full-time, part-time, Jeff, Jonathan, Cindy's our director of children's, and so this is what salaries and insurance for, you know, Social Security, taxes, all that stuff, that's about what that is. These are rough numbers, they're not exact, but they're close. Then we've got a couple of interns. Sky Blake, who's really more like a junior high youth pastor, but he's interim. And so he's working with our junior high on Tuesday nights, and he gets a stipend. Karina Borland is a intern for worship, and she gets a stipend in our secretarial. And how can we do all of it for $2,000? I know. I'm amazed too. So they're giving a lot of themselves. So our total fixed costs on a month at Adventure are $32,500. Okay? Now, if you're new, I'm sorry, we're talking about money. Kinda. But I think it's good for you to know. We don't usually do this, though. I'm just kind of telling you what it really is. Okay, so that's our fixed cost. And then for our ministry budget, all right, our kids go through a lot of fishy crackers downstairs. And your kids eat those fishy crackers. All right, so we buy them by the case. Thousands of dollars worth of fishy crackers. I'm kidding. But if you figure the fishy crackers and the curriculum costs and event food and study purchases and outreach events that we do, like Duval Days, is going to cost us money to do that, right? Youth events cost us money. Paper plates, like we've got a kitchen that people are cooking out of all the time. Coffee. I mean, those of you who drink coffee, there, yeah, that's part of the, yeah, huh. All right, you like good coffee? All right, anyway, so total need for Adventure to kind of keep making it is that. All right, now, this is September 2010 through March 2011. Here's the giving each month. 33, 48. December's kind of a weird, it's always big because everybody's doing year-end giving. And then you got January, February. If you pull December out of there, here's our average monthly giving over 6 months. Just so you can kind of picture that's what's coming in. And what I noticed about this when I looked at this is there's not a big swing, is there? I mean, you guys are consistent givers. It's not like there's this big, 1 week we have, one month we have 20,000, and next week we have 40. It's like within 1,000 or so. And so you can see that our average giving is 32.5, and what was our fixed costs? 32.5. But here's a problem. The kids are still eating those fishy crackers. All right? And so that other 3,000 when we have a big month like this, the money goes into what we call an emergency fund. And in our case, December came around, and already the bookkeeper was going, oh, by the way, I just want to let you know, nobody knows what you give except for one person who's sworn to secrecy, the person who counts that money. I don't know. No leader knows. It's an absolutely blind system. Okay? So I want you to know that up front just because I always forget to say that and freaks people out. They're going, oh, I don't know. You know, if you gave $10,000 or something yesterday and you come up to me and go, hi, Randy, You know, like I'm supposed to know you're this, you know, big giver guy. I don't know. And so, and I don't care. But, but what I do want you to know is that, the 48 came in, and, and by that time, December, the bookkeeper was going, you know, we don't have enough to, we're gonna go into our emergency fund. And then the 48 came in, and she ended up pulling about 10,000 out of that, and saving our $20,000 emergency fund. We have this savings account, has 20 grand in it for a rainy day. You know, we have a massive earthquake and can't have a service. And so you've got all these people who have their income tied to it, and it's their livelihood. Anyway, so, but the 20,000, she had to pull 10,000 out at the end of March to make up for the shortfalls of January, February, and March. So, and it's about $10,000. It's about $3,000 each month's missing. And so, my point in showing you all this is just to kind of ask you to think about it. There's about 120 families that call Adventure Home. 120 of you family units. About 50 of those practice scriptural giving. Okay? And so I got to thinking, what if 80 did? What if 80 families practiced scriptural giving, trusting God with their finances to give to their church? And now I went with Monroe's median income. So, okay, so meaning that there's some of you from Monroe, okay, and Duval's median income is 18% higher than Monroe's median income. So I said, well, let's just go with Monroe's. I went census 2009, Monroe's median income, and I went, if 80 families based on Monroe's median income gave a scriptural tithe, we would be bringing in $42,700 per month. And the benefit would be we would have freedom from concern about layoffs, which is a huge distraction right now for our pastors and staff, because we're threatening layoffs. It would move our youth pastor from living $200 below the government standard for poverty. And I kind of say that with a little bit of humor tone, but, you know, our BJ and Nicole are, you know, they have one child and one on the way, and they're getting government assistance. They're full-time getting government assistance because they're $200 below what the government considers poverty. Okay? So it'd be great if we were able to pay them enough to survive and do well. And then what if we could expand the church in a bar by providing more promotional dollars for it, and then more time for Jeff Price? Now, I don't know. I haven't talked to him. You know, he's full-time. He works full-time, and he runs church in a bar. But this is my pitch to him. What if we gave you some extra money so you could not have to work as many hours and you'd have more time to pursue and shepherd those people? Just a thought. God would have to do some miracles, but wouldn't that be cool? More people being reached through church in a bar. Would that be good? Okay. Then I thought, what if 100 families did? What if 100 families of the 120 actually gave scriptural tithe? That'd be $64,000 a month. What could we do with that? No. That, you know what? But everybody thinks that. My salary's fixed. It's been for a while. So it's not about that. It's about who can we reach. That money goes in here and it goes out to the kingdom. Okay? Nobody lines their pockets. This is your ministry. And so here's some thoughts. Just some dreaming. What if we had that? We could maybe begin a building plan to find a larger facility to reach more. Would it be cool to have a larger facility? It would. Could you imagine, guys, could you imagine an adventure counseling center with full-time counselors here 7 days a week, or 5 days a week, full-time counselors here, and lay counselors, people in training. I mean, our mission is to heal the brokenhearted. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we had a counseling school here? A counseling center here? And then I've had four people come to me and say, would you train me for ministry? I feel like God may be calling me to full-time ministry. Would you train me? And I've had to say, I don't have time. I don't have time. And in the last 3 months, four people. Wouldn't it be great if we could begin some sort of like adventure ministry training, pastoral training center? And we have Adventure Everett and Church in a Bar. What about Adventure Carnation, Adventure Redmond Ridge, Adventure Woodinville? We could plant churches all around here if we had more funding and were able to staff them. You know, you can plant a church while you work full-time, but is that a pretty tough row to hoe, Jeff? He's nodding. If you're working full-time and you're trying to pastor a church, it's very, very brutal. You know, you can't do it more than a year and not damage your family. So you need to, you know, it takes a miracle for your family to do well with that. So, captivating Albania. We've been dreaming about taking the captivating retreat to Albania. And thought that would be really cool. So we'd like to maybe do that. Some of you gals know what I'm talking about with captivating. Anyway, all right, I'm done. All I want to do is just, and we don't have time for a closing song, so I'm going to close our service, but we were going to have the guys come up. But I want to just ask you this. This is your church. What would you like it to be? If you currently call this your home and you don't currently, as a family, as a household, if you haven't decided to give, you know, scripturally give, understand one thing. It's not going to any one person. It's going to an organization that has an outreach focus. Understand that you look at what's already going on, it's making a difference. Lives are being changed, transformed. Would you consider stepping out in faith and trusting God? Jesus talked more about money than he talked about any other subject. Did you know that? He talked more about money than any other subject. Why? Why? Where your treasure is, there's your heart. And he knew that the most difficult thing for you to hear is about your money. And we do all kinds of things. Oh, church, always talking about money. They always want my money. You know? And I guarantee you that is not the Holy Spirit in you speaking. That's about other things. So, anyway, understand your leadership. All of us also tithe. All of us also we're doing what we're asking. So it's not like we're telling you, give money so we can get it. So anyway, pray about it. Lord, do you want control over this area of my life? We are really at a place where if we're going to be watching the next month, if things don't change financially, we will be doing layoffs. So that's the, it's not just that we might, it's we will. So it's kind of a, we're not going to live beyond our means. We want to live faithfully before the Lord. And so I just want to let you guys know that, because when we laid off someone in the past, we got a strong message. You didn't tell us hard enough. So, and a one-time gift thing isn't fixing it. It's about the 50, 80, and 100 families giving regularly, okay? So let me pray, and we'll let you go. Jesus, thank you for all the ways you're moving, all the ways you love us, all the ways you bless us, Lord. And thanks for what you're doing here and what you're going to do. Lord, you called this place into being, and you have showed up. And Lord, you invite us to be faithful in our serving, giving, all of it. Jesus, we ask that you would meet these needs. Would you move on the hearts of those of your sons and daughters who haven't stepped out into that area yet? They haven't stepped out with trusting you financially. Lord, would you show them? It's the only place you say, test me. The only place that you tell us to test you. Lord, would you show them that you would meet their needs and bless them if they're faithful to you? And Lord, pray that you would, as we move into these next series, as we move into Easter and all the things, all the outreach and things that we're going to be involved in, Holy Spirit, would you go before us? Would you prepare hearts? Would you move us in ways that that we become an army to be tools in your rescue of hearts? Lord, pray you'd carry us the rest of the day. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much. Have a great rest of your day. Hello, Ephraim. How you doing?